Some of us. God. We are digital pack rats. Digital pack rats. Are you a digital pack rat? Because I am. Like, specifically, you're the type of person that has 50 browser tabs open all the time. And it's like, Ade, why? Why? Like, why do you need all those tabs open at once?
Welcome to the number one podcast for tech and lifestyle. This is The Code in My Room. Here, we give you the real tea on career advancements, our cultures, money, the how-tos, the behind the scenes of building successful businesses, and everything in between that will allow you to unapologetically live your best life. And now, welcome the founder of the Afribian Tech Collective, your host, Ifua Kesua Boate.
Hey guys, what's going on? How are we doing? I hope you all had a wonderful week and an even better weekend. It is Tuesday, November 3rd. Happy New Month, everyone. You know, I love it when a new month starts, right? It almost feels like a clean slate, you know, to be better, do better. And it's even more exciting because then you know the semester is about to end. Because, yo, you know we're hella tired. But it's been a pretty cool week. We were supposed to be on mid-semester break. Well, for us, that couldn't really happen because we still got work. But whatever. We're just excited that November is already here and we just have a few weeks to go for the semester to end. So this week, we're doing a lifestyle topic on minimalism. I'm super, super excited for it because think it's going to bring so much value to you guys, and it's also a little bit personal. So time check, it's 9 a.m. and I have about 2 hours before my first class, so yeah, I think I can get this recording done to you guys and send to you guys on time. But yeah guys, I hope you're doing super well. So let's see. What's quite happened this week? Just like a minute to just catch up. This week, my friends and I went to this new place in ANC called Rocco Mama or something. I'm not even sure. It's Rocco something. And I got fries and wings. And you guys, they did not give me ketchup. That's a real problem. Like, who does that? How are you going to give someone fries with no ketchup? Then I ordered my wings with ranch. And the wings came with no ranch. And you see, that place, they're like one of those food places where they give you the food in a stapled paper bag. So you don't really open it to check and be like, oh, what's in it? Because usually I will open it and check and make sure that everything I ordered is there. Because it was stapled and it's a new place too. And it was on a Friday night. The vibe was super, super chill. You know, there was an event there. It was fun. The place is actually nice. So I thought, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have those problems. Who was the fool now? Me. Because there was no ranch, there was no ketchup. And to be honest, the food was, it was nothing special. Like, it's not a diss, but like, it's nothing that I will rave about. But maybe it was a bad day, I don't know. So you guys can try it out and let me know what you guys also think, because I didn't quite like it. I didn't even think that the wings were super, super good. I got peri peri and I was not very impressed. Maybe someone should try barbecue and let's see how that goes. But I might just give them a second chance. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see. But yeah, guys, the great news is that the website is up. So ATC's official website is up and looking mega fine. Go and look at it and tell us what you think we can, you know, do better. If there's anything we can improve, if there's confusion about maybe the flow, just let us know. We're always happy to, you know, iterate and just do things that make sense for you guys. It has been a very long time coming. So Charlie, shout out to the ATC team. They're so lit making all of this happen. And you see how hard, like, they've been going on Instagram. Yeah, they're doing so well. Like, let's really clap for them. They've been doing so well. So, just a few announcements and housekeeping stuff before we start the episode, because this episode is going to be mega, mega lit. So, just like, you know, relax, okay? Relax. So, this month, ITC is partnering with a lot of organizations to make a lot of things happen for women in tech. We're doing a few things with Pi Ladies, Soronko Academy, Ghana, Youth and Accomplished African Woman, women in Nigeria. We're doing, we are still talking to Student Build in Kenya, a few universities, a few clubs here and there, but we're really, really excited. Oh, and also in Jamaica, a good number of like women in tech organizations. So we're really, really excited for that. There's so much happening. If you look on the website, if you go to our events page, you see a few things that have already been put up. A few things are happening that I'll talk about later in the episode. But yeah, second thing is that we're also a high school immersion program is open. So if you're like a recent female high school graduate, or you're still in high school and you're thinking about pursuing a tech major or just thinking curious about tech, then you can apply to our program. Again, look on the website, everything will be in the show notes, but then there are only 30 spots open. So yeah, the door's closed at 30. You need to be quick about it. So yeah, guys, again, I hope you're all doing really, really well. Let's do a midweek check-in on Instagram stories on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. That should be fun. And let's get the show on the road. So, weekly dose of motivation. Unfortunately, I don't really think that I have anything motivating this week. I think this week, maybe it was a little bit of music. You know how Apple Music has the, what's it called? They have this playlist called High Maintenance. Let me just tell you that it's not for everyone, because if you don't like rap, it's really not for you. But then recently I've really gotten into the female rap scene, and I'm really, really enjoying all the new rappers. Like, I love Saweetie. Like, if you know me, you know that, like, Saweetie, I just love her. And I've been listening to Mulatto and like a few other people. So that playlist is really, really fire for me. That's kind of been like my go-to to like hype myself up and get myself to do work. Yeah, but it's some of them, the songs are like very hardcore, and like it's just not for everyone. But that's kind of like been my motivation this week. Yeah. So you guys, let us know what's motivating you this week. Tell us on Instagram stories how you're keeping yourself motivated, how you're staying sane. Like, we always want to know this stuff, okay? Yeah. So like I said, today we're talking about minimalism. We'll be talking about the background of minimalism, what it is, what it's not, and how it sets you on the path of productivity. So you guys, you know how I don't be recording early in the morning is because there are always like these tracks passing, and I'm very sorry if you like hear them or something, but yeah. So in terms of the background of minimalism, from my research, what I found was that minimalism is actually like, it was originally an art term. It emerged in the 1950s when artists like Frank Stella, Carl Andre, Dan Flavin, I hope I'm pronouncing the names right, Donna Judd, and some other people had their paintings exhibited in the Museum of Modern Art in New York in 1959. So it kind of like blossomed in the 1960s and 70s with like these people I mentioned becoming the, you know, the movement's most important innovators. Somewhere in 2006, it became more of like a mainstream concept for a way of living a more meaningful life. So personally, the first time I heard about minimalism, it was probably maybe in 2018, it was from one of my favorite productivity YouTubers, Matt Davila. You can check out his channel. And, you know, it's quite funny how your mind works and categorizes stuff, because the first time he talked about it in a video, I basically took it as, oh, throw all my clothes away and then get 5 t-shirts of the same color that I wear every day to eliminate the paradox of choice. And truthfully, to some people, that is what minimalism means to them. But that's actually not what minimalism is. Recently, I was thinking about, you know, how I feel like all I'm doing is going through a never-ending to-do list. And I know so many of you feel like that, because I've had conversations with a lot of you, like different people, from college students to, you know, early career people. Even like, just a lot of people just feel like they're just going through the motions and just trying to get things off their to-do list. And I was just thinking about like how I can be happy and how I can move from that place. And look, not saying I'm not happy, because on most days I'm happy and like I'm human, I'm not always happy, but then on most days I am happy. But I was thinking like, how can I be happier? And let's be honest, like keeping it 100 with you guys, my flatmates always call me out on the fact that I use work as an escape from real things that happen in my life. So I'm someone who does not like to deal with things when I feel like it does not have any immediate effect on my life, or it's not, I can't really see the returns of why should I deal with this. Like I'll just lock it somewhere and just go on with my life, and I end up, you know, putting all my energy in my work and not dealing with like, you know, the real shit that's actually going on. So what it's doing now is it's creating this almost healthy obsession with work for me. And you know, I was just thinking of ways to not live like this, because you guys, here's the thing, being like a student entrepreneur, look, even just being a student is hard enough, okay? You just need to be a student, and it's hard enough. And I think that this is important because as we're about to transition into the work world, the workforce, it's important to learn certain things. It's important to get on board with certain new habits that will allow us to make our transition easier, that will allow us to live in a way that makes sense for us and not in a way that our parents think makes sense for us, or in a way that social media says makes sense for us. And that's kind of why I'm back on this minimalism train. So I started to read around it again because it came to mind, and the things I found, I just had to share with you guys. And I'm happy because it's making me rethink my relationship with work and my relationship with everyone and everything, and just my approach to life in general, and also my relationship with money. So why are we talking about this today? The thing is, in life, if you're not focused on the important things, then you're not living at all. So you'll be successful and be deeply unhappy because like your joy is in the wrong things, or like you put your source of joy in the wrong people, in validation from people. And this is a very, very dangerous place to be in. And in 2020, it's not difficult to be in that place. It's not difficult to fall in that place. And it's even worse when you don't know that you are in that place. Like, unfortunately, I have friends, I know people who are digital creators, who are influencers, and they put all their value and their validation in likes. And it's not something that they want to admit. But then when you get to a point where when you post something, you are, what's it called? You're just tracking your likes so bad. Like if people don't like your photo in the first 10 minutes that you posted, then there's something happening to you. Oh, maybe I should take it down. Or maybe no one likes it. Like, it's not everybody's Instagram. It's your Instagram, unless you're running a business, which then you are serving a certain demographic, and then your content should serve them. Then maybe that will make sense. But even that one, that's a bit excessive. In 10 minutes, you really want to track how many people are liking your photos? Like, come on. you know, and for people who have like personal accounts, it's like, it's your personal account. Say what you want. I mean, with sense. Hello, attach sense to whatever you say. Like, you have a responsibility to be sensible online. But like, it's your personal account, you know, say what you want, post what you want, and don't feel like you owe it to anyone or anyone owes you a like. Yeah. So the next thing is, why we're talking about this is that our spending habits are a reflection of our childhood. So, you know, what our parents thought were not important, things that our parents got as rewards during our childhood in terms of like what they feel like it's not important to spend money on, or what they feel like they should purchase as a reward. Those things influence how we spend money. Like, if you grew up with parents who are always looking for a deal because maybe you just were not that well off, like even growing up, when you start making money, like you're always looking for deals, and that is not a bad thing. Please do not waste money because you have money. Of course not. My problem here is that even when you don't need something, because it's a deal, you get it, because that's like your disposition. Once you see a deal, like you're living in a state of scarcity and you feel like it's going to go away, so I need to get it, and you might not even need it, right? So that's probably how you're spending your money. You don't need to buy that just on PLC because it's $3 and it's on, you don't need it. Like, where are you going? You don't have anywhere to go in a dress, so go and sit down. But these are real things that happen. And I think that being that this demographic of this podcast is of young adults and a few teenagers, I have to say that it's important that we talk about how we're going to live more meaningful lives and how we're going to live better than our parents did. And, you know, that involves our relationships with money, our relationships with our parents. And in 2020, our spending habits, which should not be influenced by social media or people's assumptions of us. Like, tell me why you're going to work a 9-to-12-hour job, or even like pull like a 16-hour, you know, shift just for someone's comments, or you wanting people's likes to influence the house that you buy, just so people can say, oh my god, wow, like you are one person in a 3-bedroom house, like really, for what, you know? And sometimes it's not even about the devil, and you know, but like you are just creating your own idols and being your own devil. The point of minimalism is all about gaining control of your own life. So the minimalists, Joshua Field, Milburn, and Ryan Nicodemus, they have a documentary on Netflix. What's it called? I think it's called The Minimalists. And I watched it last night and I absolutely loved it. One thing that I took from it that I feel like is so important is they teach the 1990 rule. So in that rule, they say, look at your possession, pick something, you know, like any possession that you have, just like think about it. If you haven't used it in the last 90 days and you're not going to use it in the next 90 days, then it's okay for you to let it go, right? So the point of this is that you don't want to give too much meaning to your things. You don't want to give too much meaning to your possessions. And it's hard because in 2020, consumerism is a huge part of the culture. Success for a lot of people, for mainstream media, it means acquiring more things. But, and like acquiring more things, it's not a bad thing, but then it's acquiring more things and then often forsaking things like your health, your relationships, your passions, your personal growth, and your desire to contribute to your, like, to things beyond yourself. Like, all you think about is me. Like, it shouldn't be like that. And not saying that, you know, you shouldn't want things. Like, please, if you want to own a house, you want to own a car, go for it. You know, if you want to raise a family and have a career, go for it. Like, those are not wrong things. But then minimalism allows you to make these decisions more consciously, more deliberately, and intentionally. So what exactly is minimalism? So according to the minimalists, minimalism is a tool to rid yourself of life's excess in favor of focusing on what's important, so you can find happiness, fulfillment, and freedom. So like I said, minimalists, you know, search for happiness through life itself and not through things. So there's no rule for determining what minimalism looks like, because it's completely up to you to determine what is necessary in your life and what is superfluous in your life. And one thing that I, honestly guys, I remember when I started reading about minimalism, and you know, like the articles will say things like, minimalism allows you to see all that you already have and reminds you to be grateful. And so something like, maybe in doing so, you find a more abundant life. I was just like, what kind of Buddha, you know, like, it's just going on over here. But guys, I promise, it may sound like that right now, but then like, just stick with me, okay? Because just stick with me. So what minimalism is not, it is not depriving yourself of the things that you love. No, if you love your books, don't get rid of them. If your books serve you, don't get rid of them. Even in your friendships, right? If all your friends serve you, don't get rid of them. I think that most of the times people think about minimalism as just like, you know, throwing away your things, but sometimes it's even about just evaluating your relationships, evaluating your habits. And relationships take a lot of energy and a lot of time, so you kind of have to really, really think about, this person I'm giving my energy to, are they deserving of my energy, and are they even reciprocating my energy? Because sometimes it's not always about what you get back, but it's mostly about the impact that you're having on that person. So if the person is not deserving of your energy, you might just need to reevaluate the reason why you're spending your time on that person, where you could be forming better bonds and better relationships with other people, or even your family and your parents and your siblings. You know, those are the more important things you want to focus on. So if relationships don't serve you, get rid of them. If some of your habits don't serve you, get rid of them. It's all about intentionality, you know, and like I said before, intentionality, it looks different for everybody, right? No two individuals are the same. But then what intentionality does in minimalism is that it requires everyone, like each person, to dive deeper and become more introspective about like their values and their passions. So you really need to think about, as a human being, like, what are your values? And honestly, most people don't think about what their values are until they are probably like building a personal brand, and they have to kind of think about, okay, what are my values and what are the values of my, like, for my brand. But today I'm telling you all that you want to think about what your values are as an individual, and the things that amplify your values or elevate your values, you don't need to get rid of them. The things that don't serve your values, that's like, you know, those are things that you might want to get rid of. Things that don't serve your passions, those are things that you might want to think about getting rid of. So I've kind of talked about what minimalism is not, which I said it's not getting rid of the things that you love. And I'm going to talk about what exactly minimalism is. So minimalism is a lot of things, but I would just, you know, speak on maybe three or four things. The first thing is, minimalism is freedom from duplicity. So guys, this thing is very, very real, right? Nobody intentionally chooses to do it, but then most people live in duplicity, which means that you live one life around maybe your family or your friends, and then you live one life around your co-workers. And it's because of the lifestyle you've chosen, and it requires you, yeah, that's the word, it unfortunately requires you to portray a certain external image, you know, and it's mostly dependent on the circumstance. Minimalism really teaches a simplistic life that allows you to remain true to yourself in every circumstance, in every scenario. And that's what goes back to knowing what your values are. And your parents don't think one thing about you, and then your coworkers don't think another thing about you because you are portraying different characters. No. Minimalism is actually something that frees you from that behavior. Minimalism is countercultural. So, guys, obviously, people whose lives are simple, or not simple, but then people whose lives are not like keeping up with the Kardashians or keeping up with the Joneses, as you know we call it, we don't champion those things in the media, or the media does not champion those things, right? In the same way as they'll champion like a normal person like me, like you, lives. And the thing is, people who practice minimalism, they don't fit in that consumerist culture, right? That is promoted by corporations and politicians and social media. Like, they are true to themselves. They live a life that is attractive and inviting. So while most people, you know, are chasing after glamour and fame and, you know, all those things, what minimalism does is it calls us to living a quieter and a calmer life. And I think for me, is the freeing thing about minimalism is that it really, really encourages you to slow down, to consume less, and enjoy more things. And again, I know it sounds like some Buddha Zen thing, but like, I really need you guys to think about this. For me, it's becoming freeing. Just the idea of slowing down and enjoying my life and enjoying my 20s, it makes me so much happier. And that's kind of what like minimalism, you know, preaches. And it also, another thing is like for people who have businesses, for people who are creators, you know, you spend most of your time on social media because you advertise your business over there, or you are sharing your journey over there. But it's freeing for you because you can be free to create in any way that you want and post anything that you want, because you are true to yourself and you are true to your values. You're not doing things for the culture. You're not trying to fit in a box that the culture has decided that creators should be in. And that's kind of what I really, really enjoy about minimalism, in the sense that it is countercultural. And like I said, it's also about living a meaningful life. I've mentioned a couple of times already, so I'm just going to skip past that. So then the last thing I'll say is that you can't define minimalism. Minimalism, it should not look, feel, and be the same for everyone. We all have different values. The things that we hold important look different, you know, across the board. And it's important that you kind of like figure out what works for you. So I'm not saying that everyone should be a minimalist. I'm not saying that everyone should throw away their things, which again, it's not what minimalism is. But I'm saying that there are some things that we can all learn from this particular ism. So I'm going to talk about productivity now, and how minimalism fits into, you know, being productive. Because you guys know that I'm all about how to be productive. Because, I mean, why shouldn't you be productive? You ought to be productive, okay? So, I think I've even mentioned this on this podcast before. Look, feeling productive and being productive are two completely different things. Like, don't kid yourself. Don't play yourself. Feeling productive and actually being productive are two completely different things. A lot of the things on your to-do list just do not need to be there. Like, they do not need to be there. And that is the theory of the minimalist guide to productivity, that you kind of need to understand that most of the things that you put on your to-do list, they simply just, you know, don't need to be there. When you design your day differently and when you focus on your most important goals, you can actually spend more time on things that matter to you and do higher quality work. So this stuff I'm going to be talking about, the few points I'm going to make, you can apply it to your academics, you can apply it if you're running a business, you can apply it if you're a creative. The first thing is you need to decide what is important to you. So before you start studying or before you start on a bunch of tasks, you need to really, really ask yourself, what's the goal behind what you're doing? Is your goal to understand chapter 5 of your operating systems textbook after 3 hours? Or is your goal to create a brand strategy that converts after that 2-hour phone call with your team? Like, what is your goal? You really, really have to have a game plan before you go in. And I think a lot of times for students, we don't really think about it like that. We don't really have a game plan when we are studying. All we know is that, okay, tomorrow we have these subjects, data science, econometrics, something. So we are just going to study. Like, no, what is the goal behind the study session that you are having on this particular subject? And that's kind of how you have to think about it. Even for your meetings, like, you always need to have a game plan for your meetings. You cannot, like, you can't not have an agenda for a meeting. You can't just go and sit in a meeting and then waste people's time. Like, you need to know why you're in the meeting. So when you set that goal, then any task that you are doing within that time frame, it should be related to that goal. So in that 2-hour phone call where you're discussing brand strategy and you're checking your Instagram, if it's going to help you understand how to convert customers, fine. In that 3-hour, you know, study session, you're checking your Instagram. If it's going to help you understand the difference between threads and processes, go for it. You know, taking that phone call from your girlfriend, again, if it will help you understand how to convert your audience and the customers, hey, no judgment here, go for it again. But you need to start learning to say no to tasks and commitments that don't support your goal. Like, and if you're new in college, this is something that you might struggle with, because normally when you come to college, you're happy, you know, you want to be in every club, you want to be your teachers, like, you want to just do everything. But you learn really quickly that you need to learn how to say no to commitments that don't support your goals. Even yourself, you know, learn to say no to yourself. Learn to say no to the things that you want. Like, why do you want them? Do you need them? It's called discipline. It's called discipline. And as is the case in life in general, like, learning to say no is one of minimalism's most valuable skill. You need to learn how to say no. The second thing is set your MITs. So you need to start each day with a plan. Whatever you use to keep track of your to-do lists, you know, it needs to be updated and thought about every single day. And for me, the way I think about this, or the way I typically do this, or I try to do this on most days, is to make sure that every night before I sleep, I go through my to-do list. I have a page in my Notion called To-Do, and it's like, it's made of Kanban boards, which has, I think, ideas, doing, done, about to something. And every night I just go through it, just make sure that everything that needs to be done the next day, I'm putting it in the about to. So when I wake up, I'm very sure of what I'm going to be doing. You really need to kind of get into the habit of devoting a few minutes in your day to organize your to-do list. It doesn't have to be like mine, but even if it's a simple, like, you know, a simple, like, what's it called? Like a journal where you make check boxes and you write your task and you take them off, that's fine. But then the most important thing here is that you need to be able to define your top three MITs, which are your top three most important tasks for the day. And you have to structure your choices around those three things. So you kind of think about it as your minimum viable product, right? If nothing else goes well, or if nothing else gets done today, those three things will keep you alive. Basically, those three things need to get done. If you wouldn't do anything today, you need to get those three things done. And distractions, they always come. They will always come and they will not stop coming. When when distractions come, when new opportunities arise, and when you get really tired, you're thinking about, oh, I really, really want to take this afternoon nap, and, you know, I really want to go out like with my friends to that show. Oh, I really want to do this. You have to kind of think about, like, how does this affect my most important tasks? Because everything else, you don't really need to do them today. But then your three most important tasks, how does taking that nap affect them? How does, you know, going out affect those tasks? So, yeah. The third thing is to cut out distractions. Ooh. Wow. So, you guys, there are plenty of studies, you know, that prove that multitasking actually makes you less productive. And there's research from the American Psychological Association that explains that our brains are not meant to multitask. Like, your brain just is not supposed to do that. And, you know, some of us, oh God, we are digital pack rats. Are you a digital pack rat? Because I am. Like, specifically, you're the type of person that has 50 browser tabs open all the time. Like, the top of your browser is so squished to the point where you can't even see the name of the page or the site you're on. No. We can only see the icons. And you've memorized all the icons because you know what this fave icon represents. And it's like, Ade, why? Why? Like, why do you need all those tabs open at once? And you know, like, it doesn't help you because you really do get distracted and you can't focus on one thing. Well, personally, for me, when I do that, sometimes it depends. Like, sometimes I can get focused, like, for a very, very long time and stay in one, you know, like, tab, but it's mostly distracting, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of distracting. So there's a study from the University of Sussex. In the study, they used fMRI scans to study the brains of people who engaged in, you know, different degrees of multitasking. And what they found out was that the more a person multitasks, the less gray matter they possess in their anterior cingulate cortex. That's the ACC. I hope I pronounced that right. And that's the part of the brain that is associated with cognitive and emotional processing. So in case you did not fully comprehend what I just said, what I'm trying to say is that multitasking literally alters your brain chemistry. Yeah, that's basically what it does. It alters your brain's chemistry. So you might want to close all those tabs because you're not just altering your brain's chemistry, you're not just decreasing your productivity, but then you're also just making yourself more scatterbrained and you're just killing your RAM. Like, you're actually killing your computer's RAM. So stop. Like, stop. Okay? Just open the tab that you need. At least 10. Okay? Just try for 10. Gosh. I'm so triggered because I'm talking to myself. So, the minimalist lifestyle encourages focus and quality, as you know, you probably have already reckoned. From a theoretical point of view, it really, really, really does not support or jive with, you know, this whole multitasking thing. Like, just identify a task, block out everything else while you're doing that task. Like, if you're on a phone call, be present. You know, you're talking to your friend, you're talking to your family or a client. Be present and stop scrolling through your Instagram. My gosh. Like, just be present. If you're writing an email, write it quickly. You know, don't respond to the text popping up. Just write an email. The text, the people, nothing happens to them. Just write an email. Like, just make the conscious, intentional choice to focus on one thing at a time, and don't divide your attention across a bunch of things that really, 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 really do not matter. The fourth thing, I think it's the fourth. Yes, it's the fourth. The fourth thing is you should batch and automate. So this week, guys, I really, really want us to all try something. Just a quick recap. First of all, we're trying to figure out what our values are this week. You need to know what your values are as an individual, as a person. But then the other thing that we're doing is that every single day this week and next week, I want everyone to keep a log of the tasks that, you know, you're doing. That means that whether it's you're chilling or you're studying, just write it and how much time you're spending on it. Because as a way to create a more efficient schedule, you have to kind of figure out the tasks that are repetitive and the tasks that take like more of your time, so that you can check if there are ways and options to automate those tasks. And then you set aside time to complete a big batch of the work all at once. That's kind of what time batching is. I think I've talked about time batching in some previous episodes, so you can check that out. But then that's basically what time batching is. It is setting, you know, a block of time to knock out some tasks that are related to each other. So, for example, you can schedule a week's worth of tweets in one sitting. And this is helpful, you know, if you're an entrepreneur or a creative or like a student or something, because you don't have the luxury of time to be wasting time on Instagram and Twitter every day. So personally, there are days when I batch content, like Mondays and Tuesdays are like days when I really, really, really create content. So you need to kind of figure out like days where you want to create the content, batch it, send it out. Or not even send it out, just batch it, and then every day you just release something. The next thing is the app trap. So guys, there are so many apps out there. Oh my god. Me, I'm just that person who wants to try every app. I've tried every to-do list app out there on my phone. I think I have about three or something. I use only one. And you don't want to fall into the trap of, you know, spending more time trying to find an app and then coming to spend even longer time trying to update your to-do list than you actually spend accomplishing the things on your to-do list app. Like, it might sound very, very ridiculous, but it happens to the best of people, from, you know, C-level executives to, let's say C-level, C-suite executives to entrepreneurs to students, like, to every, it happens to everybody, where you're spending 2 hours updating, like, why? Updating your calendar, your to-do list, why? Like, every single day, please, that's a bit much, but it happens to the best of people. So I would say you should just choose one location. It could be an app, it could be a notebook, sticky notes, something. And make that your project home base and collect all your to-dos over there and only there. I use Notion now. Everything else, I really don't use anything else apart from Notion. Notion is like my project home base. Everything I work on, all my to-do lists are in Notion. I would say that actually I kind of have like a quick capture system. So on my laptop I use Microsoft To Do, only because if there's something happening very, very quickly, Microsoft's To-Do is a bit like quick. It's just a to-do list app, very, very simple interface. So I can just type those things very, very, very quickly in the to-do list app, and then later come and put them, you know, back like in my Notion, write them out properly, then specify how exactly I'm going to do them. So that's kind of like the quick capture system. You might need that if you are more into like digital, you know, to-do list stuff. You might need a quick capture system where you have something that allows you to quickly capture stuff if you're on the go. On my phone, I use an app called Taskade. When I'm on the go, I capture things very, very quickly in my Taskade. When I come back to sit down, then I go into my Notion. But yeah. And the last thing is, you should be flexible. Like, your to-do list should not control you. You need to build some flexibility into your schedule. And, you know, don't feel bad about straying slightly from the plan. Like, minimalism is all about quality over quantity. And your to-do list, it does not control you. And it should not control you. So act like that. Act like it doesn't control you. Act like you are the person actually making the to-do list, and not like the to-do list is making you do work. Got it? Yeah, so folks, this is it for this episode. I'm very, very happy that it was this episode. I hope that we're all going to track what we're spending our time doing and figuring out how we can optimize to save our time, save money, and live more meaningful lives. Yeah, guys, thank you for sticking with me till the end of this episode. Thanks to everyone who sent me DMs and messages on Instagram and Snapchat about what you're loving about the episodes. Thanks to all of you who share the episodes. Like, that's so nice of you guys. So thank you so much for sharing the episodes. Today, the shout outs go to Adelaide X, Ben Benjamin, Singalise 20, Ashley.Wilson, Akosia. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for your DMs, and thank you for sharing the episode. So helpful. But guys, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please leave us a rating and review. It really, really, really helps. It allows more people to see the podcast and listen to it. Shout out to all our new subscribers. Thank you so much. And of course, a standing ovation to our day ones. We love you all. So check out the show notes for all the goodies about the events that are coming up. Even if you're not a woman in tech, you definitely know girls in high school. You know college women who benefit from the events that we're having. So I will link all of them in the show notes. Please check them out and share them so more people can get to know about what's happening. Thank you guys so much, and have a lovely, 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 lovely week. Once again, this was The Code in My Fro, and it was me, Afua Kesewabwating, being your host as always. I love you all, and see you all on the next episode next week. Goodbye.